What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today, we are so jazzed to have on our guest. I don't use the word jazzed very often, but that's how excited I am.
I've never heard you use it, actually. So let's go with never, actually. Very often.
Confidently go with
I'd
never.
I'd love to know the other instances in which you were like, I'm jazzed about this show.
It's very few and far between. I save it for special occasions, yeah. Which today is, because we have on the incredible comedian and actor Adam Ray. Give it up for Adam Ray, everybody.
Woo! Yay!
Woo! You might know Adam.
DJ sounds.
Adam has been in like a bazillion things. He's kind of a big deal, you guys.
Says his mom's friends at Temple Beth Am. Which they do.
As far as TV shows, you might know him from American Vandal, Arrested Development, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Silicon Valley, Workaholics, Two Broke Girls. In movies, you've seen him in Ghostbusters.
The one everyone hated.
The one everybody hated.
The one everyone was mad about. I actually loved it. It's the only one I've seen. But
Spy, The Heat. He's really been killing it. And he has a new album out called Read the Room that's available now. It's with 800 Pound Gorilla. Great record label.
Great guys. Yeah.
And his own podcast with Brad Williams.
Yep.
Yes. Called About Last Night, which is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Taylor and I have both been on it.
We've both been on it.
Delaney, we got to get you
on. Hey, I'm ready.
Come on, let's get that hat trick.
I've been waiting several years to be asked, so let's do it.
Well, it's happening. Look it. Invite. Invite happening. I had to come here for you to come there.
Started with the cookies. I see what's happening.
He brought us Starbucks, the petite French madeleines. Madeleines. I have never eaten these.
I've been just butchering the French all day.
I really have.
Everyone's a cookie person, right?
Oh yeah. These are 100%. So cute.
That's
they
the name
look
of my
like...
next album. But I think, but because I was trying to survey the snack, you know, lounge that they
You're
have there,
kind.
And I was like, what do you think? Like, what will go over well with?
Yeah. What would white girls like?
Pretty much,
cookies.
Probably not like cashews and raisin combos, right?
Oh yeah,
a cookie
offended.
With a white girl name.
Yeah.
It truly doesn't get whiter than that.
And if you brought us a protein box, I would have been like, okay, we.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys need some more deviled egg in here.
We're so happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Adam, I'm dying to know what your quotes are.
Yes.
You said you brought a couple.
I do, yeah. Is this how you open the up?
Let's
freaking way to get it back on track,
kick
Delaney.
It off.
Well, we're like, you know what's hard about promoting on Instagram? Really inside baseball.
All right. So one my mom told me early on was one actually that fucking Michael Jordan said, which was, I don't even have it written down. I just remember it. How does it go? Oh, it goes, I can accept failure, but I can't accept not trying.
Ooh,
love
oh
it.
My God, I love that.
Love that one a lot.
Really good. Yeah.
Wow.
So that, I don't know if
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I've never heard that
I feel
either.
Like that should be everywhere.
Yeah.
That is great.
I can accept
Yoda kind of dunked on Michael him on Jordan. That one. The do or do not, there is no try. It's pretty close.
Damn.
I feel like Yoda
pretty close. Jordan, Yoda is the Michael Jordan of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Characters. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan is the Yoda of basketball players.
Right, that's what I voice.
Yeah. What if I was like, it's not Michael Jordan, it's T and Tamara from Sister Sister. But also, you know, doesn't mean it's not true. So I definitely think I don't want to say like I have lived my life to follow that, but or keep it in the forefront. But I think for sure it's always in the back of my mind about certain things. And I've always put like a certain amount of pressure on myself to just high expectations, you know? So it's, if there's something I want to do or I think I can do it, then I don't usually find reasons to talk myself out of it unless it's just something I don't want to do, you know? But if it's like on a small scale, like the album, like, you know, going back and forth with like, you know, self-funding a special or trying to, you know, shoot something and set up, you know, some meetings and try to whatever. And then I was like, because I, you know, created some, you know, idea that was a bigger deal than doing an album. But then it was like, no, I just need like content. I like have all this material and I want to do it and putting it together. And it wasn't like the most difficult of processes, but it also wasn't like a 2-day thing of like send an email, like organizing it and finding the place and everything. And so, and then I was like, all right, well, if this isn't the, oh, and we did it actually at one club and it didn't, like my voice went out at the Tacoma Comedy Club and we only did two shows. And I was like, oh man, like, I was like, this is, well, maybe it'll be, you know, try to keep like a positive mindset, but it just was not like happy. And the crowds were just like off. And and so I kind of like, you know, two shows in was like, or a show in was like, all right, this is not going to be it. But, but they were cool to figure it out. The other quote is,
Okay. Is this the one you hate?
No, there's another one I love.
Oh, and then another one I hate. Okay, cool.
Is that cool?
Of course.
How many love quotes do you get?
Lay it on.
Yeah, I got a buffet of quotes.
Got my cookies to dip them in.
Oh, my God. What do you dip cookies in, by the way, while we're on the subject?
Tea.
Yeah,
for real?
Like cookies and tea.
These are good tea cookies.
Or like coconut milk or almond milk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do you dip them in?
I don't know. I used to, when I was a fat kid, I used to dip Pop-Tarts in Cool Whip.
Oh, that is...
Yeah,
that's
you guys are so surprised.
My 9-year-old self just fell in love.
My 36-year-old self just got hard. That was like just hearing about that because I haven't done that since probably.
That would put me down for a week if I did that now.
No, not when you're watching a full 4 hours of the Disney afternoon.
You just lay down. And you're like, I don't even feel bad.
Yeah, I don't even feel.
Yeah,
I got so much.
I feel nothing.
Whipping cool inside me. The one I love is. The other one is don't let yesterday take up too much of today.
Yes.
And would you have to say that?
Guys. But that's real shit.
Yeah.
Because like there's tomorrow. No, I can't help but read some of these quotes. I also have like a very guru-y spiritual friend that's not like a life coach.
Did you just feel an egg drop when you said that?
For sure, yeah. Like, and she's all about some of these quotes. So she's kind of ruined quotes for me in a way because like the way that she says them or posts with like pictures of her and like the Bahamas with like these monkeys, and then it's like the choices you make are defined by the choices you don't, the risks you don't take, and then it's like her butt naked with a monkey. And like, yeah, I mean,
it's just good.
All your choices are killing it right now. Your instincts are great. Yeah, like what am I supposed to pull message wise from this other than I'm jealous of, you know, the beach and the monkey? The quote I hate is, and I want you to guess who wrote it.
Oh, I love stuff like that.
There are no rules when it comes to love. Think about it in a song form, and maybe that'll help influence
Taylor
your answers.
Swift? Prince? Could be anyone.
Boom.
Was it Taylor
Cook
Swift?
For the win.
T-Swift.
What T-Swift song is that?
By the way, if you do that with T-Swift, she gives you backstage access.
Like, of course, if you do it Kelsey three times, she'll appear.
You do it four times, she'll buy you Cool Whip.
Wait, but which song is that from? There are no rules
when
it comes to love?
I don't know the song.
But you've seen that quote a lot?
Yeah.
Insta?
Man,
my nieces are obsessed with her.
What do you think
her,
of the new song? Did everyone hear the new song?
No.
I like the new song.
It's called Me! Exclamation point.
There's a new
song. I love Nikki Glaser posting videos of her dancing to it.
Oh, she loves her, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's really funny.
I did take my nieces to her show, and it was phenomenal.
It's so great. Yeah. I took my younger sister.
I mean,
good time.
Just because, you know, some of her lines are a little, like, no rules when it comes to love. I feel like there's quite a few.
There are quite a
like,
few.
Thousands.
Like, like, hey, is it okay if this happens? Like, do you, like, how many, like, there's a lot of.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anal.
Anal, yes.
Yes or no?
What's your rule? Yes or no?
That you probably talk about that up
feels
front.
Like a big rule.
Yeah, I heard her new album. Yeah. The first song is Anal.
It is.
Yeah, so.
Anal, exclamation point.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Anal, you.
But she spells it with like two N's.
Yeah.
Yeah, she crushes it. But that's a quote that I
would agree. That's a
I have
shitty
some
quote.
Trouble with. Yeah, and there's other ones that aren't as jokey, but.
Yeah, it's a problematic quote.
Did you go to the one where they gave out the wristbands
wristbands.
Up?
Yeah.
That was a really good time.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
She's very cognizant of just the whole aesthetic aspect of the show. Mm-hmm. Like, she had like 9 quick changes, I think.
Yeah, that's a lot. And,
it's like, guys, that was a 4th quick change. Oh, you're asleep. Oh, yeah, it's 9 p.m. This is 2 in the morning for you. No, they stayed. One of them was so cute. She was like... I want to lay down and sleep. One of them did just like lay down and go sleep. And the other one was like, can you just like carry me so I can like kind of watch? So she was like on my back, like half asleep, like watching like a very big spectacle-y moment of her, like, she was like ascending on this like robot dick and like flames were coming out. And she was like, I've done anal. I'm paraphrasing the lyrics, but she said something really like magnificent. And everybody was like, holy shit, it was the climax of the show. And she's like, kind of watching. I was like, how are you sleeping right now? This is the biggest part of the show.
Oh my God. Did you watch Beyonce's Homecoming?
I haven't yet. And you probably watched it 20 times, huh?
I've watched
That's
it
your
4
girl.
Times already.
Kelsey's the reason
I danced
I
to it this morning.
It.
It's been my workout
is it great?
For the next. It's so good.
It's not a concert documentary, right? It's like.
It is.
Okay.
It's the concert.
I thought
and
I saw some.
It cuts to like how that came to be. How
Whoa,
the
but it's
I love
mostly
those.
Concert.
Nice.
And it's amazing.
Huh. I mean, look, that's a show I don't know if I'd go. If I got like dope tickets,
yeah.
I'd go.
Okay.
Right? If they were like, if I was on my way like in that direction and somebody was like, all you got to do is exit right here and there's a cool, like, Jay-Z's actually going to be outside and he'll usher you in.
That's the only way you'd go?
No, that's not true. I'd go.
Yeah. Kelsey would like murder all of us right now.
Yeah,
to go.
That would, I'd set this place on fire.
But I say that. I say that also having gotten really stoned and gone to Celine Dion in Vegas.
Oh, that's hysterical.
And?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
She also does a lot of stand-up.
Really?
What?
Sorry,
I mean,
what?
Stand-up.
Yeah, air quotes. It's, heavy air quotes.
In the show?
Look, she's been doing her show probably for 20 years, give or take,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. How do you sing My
thousands?
Heart Will Go On without just jamming a fork through your eyeball after you've done it that many times?
Exactly.
Like, you
yeah.
have
yeah.
to change it up.
It's
you
also like
something.
She knows people are coming for her. She knows she has all these great tracks just in her pocket.
Yeah.
At any point, she can be like, and that's the and just save the room.
Yeah. Right.
So
oh,
why wouldn't
point.
You work out your mustard material or your condiment puns?
It's
she came out in a yellow dress
puns?
And she was like, look at me. I'm like, Celine Dion.
Are you kidding
yeah, that
me?
Was half the room.
That's a Pete Holmes joke.
Yeah, and
joke.
The other half of the room was just kind of dead. And like, I was, the pot had kicked in pretty hard at that point. So I was like, what? And me and my buddy were like, it was pretty funny though. I didn't expect that, you know?
That,
what else you got, you know?
That's so
Encore
funny.
Encore with the stand-up, not the music.
That's not even on like topic. Like
no.
If she was coming out like, did you guys ever think maybe they both could have fit on the door? Like
yeah.
if she was doing
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
that would make more sense to
she
me.
She was just riffing, but she was always trying to make jokes. So there was, it was a tough
I
thing
hate
to pick
that
up.
So much.
It's like when you got
That's
a stepdad
incredible.
And you're trying to get to know him and your
yes.
sensibilities are way off. And I'm speaking from personal experience, but hey, I'm sure a lot of people out there got stepdads and you're trying to get on the same page.
Very relatable.
And it takes a minute. And it's like my stepdad and I probably 15 years. And he's because he's a big play on words, big pun guy.
Yeah.
And so I could never tell when the joke was. And now I'm like pretty dialed in. Shout out to George. And but he.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So I feel like that was just what Celine was working with. She's like, just no real structure. And like, although I would love to know if there's like a writer backstage.
What if she wears that dress kit and every like, time? Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Do the mayonnaise one. Did she hear me? Is this on?
I knew it.
Yeah. But she was like, every opportunity was, or every moment was like a song opportunity. I mean, she would just like be introducing like members of the band. She's like, this is Julio. He plays guitar. He's been playing guitar for me for 15 years. He's been playing guitar for me. And I'm just sitting there like, is this on the set list? What the fuck is going on right now? Try for these improv.
This is My Heart Will Go On, Julio, Dijon.
Yeah, Dijon pun. If that's in the set list, I'll pay upwards of $100 for that set list.
I'm definitely
gonna
see that
show. Julio is on there. That's so funny to imagine that she gets backstage and they're like, what a show. The rain, My Heart Will Go On. Like, we got more rain in the effects tonight. And she's like, did you hear the Julio song? I'm like, it was fine. It was like, it's 2 seconds. Like,
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So you seem like you're really good at auditioning. Do you think you are? I mean, you're going to be humble about it, but you seem like...
No, I mean, I'll give you a very real answer.
I'm fucking amazing.
Hilarious. I had one today.
Not even that you always get it, but even if you don't get it.
The amount of auditions that I just thought about this the other day in just my own, like... You know, because you ask, like, what do you want? And I've always been somebody, and that's probably contributes to the exhaustion. And, you know, my mom is always like, you know, if I had some big auditions early in the morning, but I was doing 3 sets, she's like, geez, let's just listen to this. Sounds exhausting. Why don't you just go to bed and get a good night's sleep? I was like, Mom, because the good shows, I ride those vibes into the morning. And also, and then I always tell her, like, this is how I've done it. And it got me to here. So why would I stop doing that? But like, there is value in like, but then like, don't die. But
that's how I feel about not hanging. I'm like, I got here by not hanging.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, like, shit, man. Like, you know, everyone's got their own path and system. And like, but yeah, I
you had an audition today.
Yeah, so I've always liked to try to do it all, and sometimes feel like I'm spreading myself thin. But the auditioning is just like anything where it just takes like a bunch. Like, until I really started working in voiceover these past like 3-4 years, I mean, I auditioned maybe 12 years of just every day, like multiple things, like just getting, you know, honing the confidence in that world, but also like getting to know, like, anything, like with stand up, like your voice and what you can do and what your skills are and certain things. And when you see a certain breakdown, like what voice you're going to do for a character maybe, or just how to inflect a certain word and whatnot. But same thing with acting. And I was just thinking about this the other day when I was getting like bummed about being like, God, all I want is my own fucking show. That's truly what I only want. Like, I would drop everything right now for a little bit for that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But because that's what I came out here for. I came out here to act, went to acting school at SC, and it's like podcast, stand up, everything else is keeping me busy, and like everything begets everything. But it's like, I want to be acting like
that's
way more. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. I don't think I knew that necessarily. I was thinking that stand up was like,
I went to London for a year and did like the whole acting program there.
Wow.
Like,
so
that's
cool.
That's why I do so many act outs in my stand up, just because.
Yeah. I want to. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, but you asked a question I wanted to answer. Oh, the auditioning.
Yeah.
So like today I had one that was, it's a kind of a big one, and I feel like it went great. But then, like, literally 2 weeks ago, I had one that was like, oh, I should quit the business. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I try to be as prepped as possible. I hate not being prepped. I'm always, like, memorized. I don't like having, like, some people like to hold it and just in case you forget. But if I have that, it's a crutch, and then I'm going to go to it. Almost like with, like, a notepad for stand-up. If, like, I have something there to look down, then I'm not going to try to do, you know. And I've always been a decent memorizer, so it's, like, not a huge issue. But it's also, like, that to me is a whole part of the preparation. But I felt prepped, and then just my in-room banter, which I feel like is another part of the auditioning that takes a minute to get, like, to figure out. Like, sometimes I've definitely over-bantered or under-bantered or improvised when I shouldn't, and, like, that's cost me gigs. And everyone's got their own, like, tactics and, like, come in, just do the job. Don't say anything. Just do the job. Make them want you. Like, but then I've heard these stories of people that were just so charming. And somebody told me one the other day about Danny DeVito with Taxi being like, who wrote this bullshit? And then they were like, give him the job.
I hate that.
Like, you know? And I'm like, all right. So that was in my head going into one where I was like, maybe just tell him to fuck off. Like,
Unicorn voiceovers. Like, who wrote this shit?
This sounds like a lamb.
My God.
That's so funny.
So it's just, you know, like anything, like just the more. But there's never, and just being consistent, you know, like anything. Yeah. Like that's when I feel like I'm, and even it's like walking out. If I feel like I walked out, I'm like, all right, cool. Like the audition for Curb was, that's my favorite show. So I was like, all I want to do is be the best that I know I can do in that room. And then if I don't get it, like, shit, there's so many other fucking factors. And yeah. And then as soon as I walked out, I was like, all right, cool. Like that. And it was so fun and with him and everything. And I was like, if I don't get it, all good. And then, like, you know, 10 seconds later, I'm like, I fucking want that shit so bad. But
I was going to ask emotionally how you deal with the rejection of auditioning, because I know that not all of our listeners are actors by any means, but I do feel like a lot of people have situations where they have to put themselves out there and find a way to, like, emotionally be okay with the results going one way or another.
Yeah, getting jobs you interview for.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we're all dealing with rejection. Yeah.
Dating, absolutely.
Just, I mean, all the time, right? Like, there's always something you want and don't get or try to put yourself in position to. I think just being busy has helped distract me from, like, putting all the eggs in one basket. Like, in my acting program at SC, there was a handful of kids that have stopped doing it since because all they were doing was acting. And so then they would have their side jobs or day jobs and then auditioning and then waiting for those auditions and hoping those pay off. And if they didn't, then they're like, I guess I got to get another job or I got to... Mm-hmm. And they were just so stressed about that one opportunity. And I was like, that's why I started, you know, doing sketches and just to keep busy so that, like... And it's happened so many times where, like, I'll leave an audition and either feel crappy about it or feel great about it. And then literally, like, I remember there was this one I read with, God, again, it's like thinking about how many thousands where you're just like,
yeah,
like you don't like get and just got to keep pounding the pavement. That's another one from my mom. She also says, and she says, Michael Jordan says this one too. She goes, just remember what Michael Jordan says. Just say, fuck it. Fuck it and have fun. I'm like, I don't think you said that. It sounds like more of a...
I love your mom. It's just your mom not wanting to say fuck. She goes, you know what else Michael Jordan
curses.
Says?
Yeah.
You were an accident.
Yeah. Oh my God. She screamed have fun when I was at the free throw line in this game. My senior of basketball, this game would have put us into the playoffs, and our school hadn't gone like in like 16 years.
Oh my God, my
and
I'm at the free throw line,
and it's like dead silent, like a full gym. And she goes, "Just have fun."
Oh shit!
And she's known like real sweet, fun, like everybody loves her, but like also known for being that, and like everybody laughs, and like it was too like obvious to not say something. So literally, I'm at the free throw line, and there's Karen. I go, "Mom, come on!" And then like. A lot of people laughed because it was just so like, what is happening? This mom screamed, like, definitely like a couple minutes left in a tight game, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a sitcom scene right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
funny.
And so, but yeah, she would always say like, fuck it, have fun. But what was I saying?
Feeling great about auditions, feeling crappy.
Oh, and keeping
and
yourself
you
busy.
Out.
Oh, yeah. So I had done this one where I was like reading with Martin Lawrence and Fred Savage is in the room to play like the other cop with Martin Lawrence for some show.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, I think Ethan Suplee, you know, from My Name is Earl and Mallrats, the big dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's a schooner is a sailboat. You remember? You've seen Mallrats?
I've
seen
both.
I'm
pretty young. I've seen both.
It's a great movie. Yeah. All right. have you seen Shanghai Nights?
No.
Okay. That was a joke. I was like, what's a movie that
have you seen has? Twilight?
Yeah. Yikes. So I landed at Tempe in the Tempe Improv. You're talking about like dealing with rejection.
Yeah.
And I was so jacked up. I was like, man, I'm going to be Martin Lawrence's cop sidekick and Kevin Arnold's going to direct it. And then I literally land and it was between me and two guys and didn't get it. And I was like so bummed, but then I had to go on and do a show. So it was like, yeah. I had no, like, what are you going to do? Bring that to the stage? You got to just hit the reset button and go. But like, that was a very like defining moment because I was like, oh, this is why having other stuff is super beneficial.
Absolutely.
Because it just keeps you, again, like not putting all the eggs in one basket and like learning to kind of let go of stuff. And what was my quote? Yesterday takes care of today. Tomorrow's got some stuff too that's worthy of being today-ish. Fuck, what is it?
Today don't let feels too like much a... yesterday into today.
Something
ooh,
like that.
That's better.
I think hey. Something like that, yeah.
T Dub with
that
the
is so
keep
funny.
Yesterday.
What is it? Yeah, just
in the past.
Fuck, I'm looking at this. Yeah, yeah. If you don't let yesterday take up too much of today.
Yeah.
I like yours
yeah.
better.
Do you feel like when you walk out of auditions thinking you got it, that's when you don't get it? And when you walk out feeling like you didn't
Man,
get
I've
it,
man, I've tried
that's
to dissect that
I know.
Formula.
Yeah, I was going to ask like if you have like superstitions, like if like you think you're going to get it, if you like don't talk about it with anybody, if you
yeah.
like have, yeah.
Well, I mean, I did have, yeah, the... Yeah, I
Are you even like superstitious right now to talk about it? Like
Well, like no, there's one I had that was like I definitely like was like superstitious about well, the one I went in for today, and there's an actor that's in it, and my buddy was on the phone with him and he brought him up out of nowhere, and then like I heard some ad for something, and then in the ad after the radio DJs were talking about whatever, and they mentioned one of the old movies that this guy was in.
So, weird.
So I'm not usually like tapped into that stuff, yeah. but I was on both accounts like, that's a sign.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I mean, it also is just coincidence, right? I don't know. But yeah, like I try to subscribe to that sometimes just to make myself feel better if I walk out. Like that one I had that was just god awful a couple weeks ago. I think, you know, my mom again probably came to the rescue with like, well, that probably, you probably were way better than you thought you were.
Right.
And it's, you probably, they're just, you know, you're going to get it. And I'm like, you don't know. Yeah. Like, you told me to change my voicemail this week because if Spielberg calls and hears that, he's not going to hire me. So you're.
You know what Michael Jordan says? Yeah. When you miss the basket, you actually make it.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Put it one say that.
Oh my god. There's like a book of like MJ quotes like then and now or like
or just your mom.
Just my mom like oh my god like yeah.
You should start a Twitter what that account is. Called My Mom is Michael Jordan.
Write
I mean,
it
yeah,
down.
But yeah, I will pay you to write the tweets. When you miss it, you actually make it. Yeah. That's like his book like when he's like 90 like just being that's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that does happen, I guess, for some people, right? Where they're like, you hear that story with like, it was awful, and I, you know, I didn't read the room right, and I took my dick out, and then they were like, that's actually what no one did that, and that's what we wanted. And they're like, all right, well.
Men listening, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Never, Matt Lauer. Jeez, you sex
more,
button weirdo.
I got some more questions for you.
Yeah, bro.
So you mentioned that you were a tour guide at Warner Brothers, right?
Universal.
Sorry, my bad. Getting the studios mixed
up. Good on time. Am I babbling too much?
No, you're
no.
answering
good.
The question.
I am, just because a lot of our listeners are in that like in-between phase where like they have their dream job in mind, but they're still working all these different gigs to just like try to make it happen. What other jobs did you have before you like made it your full-time job, right?
Yeah.
And like how long did that go made on it. For? And like what were the steps that that kind of happened for you?
So when I got out here, I did what is it called? Where you have a job at the college?
The program, the
work study.
Work study.
That's what
program.
It's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I worked at the Hillel, like the Jewish Community Center, and then worked at the library for a little bit, and then worked at the DRC, like the school theater, and then got the tour guide job. I think when I was a sophomore in college. So then that was like in the summer, and then that didn't pay a lot. So then I was like, what pays more? Wolverine. and went in. By the way, the audition, they like made me wear. They were like, wear like a tight muscle shirt and like walking in character. And I don't know shit about like Marvel stuff, so I walked in and I was like, what's up? And they're like, who are you? I'm like, Wolverine. Duh. And they're like,
duh.
Right. And then they're like, who are your friends? I'm like, oh, you know, Matt and Trevor. They're like, what about Storm and Captain America? I'm like, they're all right.
Peanut M&M.
Yeah. And then they're like, what are your powers? And I was like, just trying to be funny with it. So I did like a weird jump kick.
Oh my God.
And then it was like, and I'm like, pretty good at calligraphy. Pretty good. I just picked it up. So like, give me a couple months, but then I'll be great. And they're like, what about healing yourself? And I'm like, that sounds rad. And I could fucking, yeah, like, duh, I do that. And then, like a couple
Trevor.
Of them were like laughing and then like, you know, whatever they, you know, but I was,
how did you get that job?
I don't know. Well, there were two other Wolverines above me. They needed a third one. So as Jay Moore used to call me, he was like, you're third string Wolverine, which I was. Because it was like they would do like...
So funny.
Understudy, you know, Wolverine.
Hilarious. There was like 3 or 4 days you would work and then a couple off and then somebody else would rotate.
Yeah, nice.
But so then that... Then Universal was it for a little bit. Then I got a job working at Fleming's, the steakhouse downtown, for 2 days though because my buddy was working there and I was like... And just started going on the road with Bobby Lee and so that was like... Not super consistent. It was, you know, rotating a bunch of people, and then And then I was like, I need more income. And so I was like, oh, I can, you know, I like working with people. Because in high school, I worked at Albertsons grocery store for all through high school. My mom was like, I'm going to help you get like a piece of shit crap car. Because I was like first one of two kids to get my license the last day of freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I'll help you get a little car, but you got to get gas and insurance and you got to have a job to like do that. So I was like, all right, I'll work at the grocery store like fucking, you know, 45 hours a week. What?
Oh,
it was
wow.
the worst because like, it was the worst and the best because I made friends with so many like older classmen that worked there
yeah.
and have so many great like stories and just it ended up being fun. But like it was right in the heart of like the town center where, like across from like Lake Washington where all my friends would come in to get, you know, Gatorades and pies or whatever. I don't fucking whatever the summer treats were. Whatever the popular treats were of 98, 99.
Dunkaroos.
Dunkaroos, yeah, for sure.
Gushers.
Gushers, fruit by the foots. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be there, you know, bagging groceries or customer service booth and they're like, you're missing out, man. It's super fun. Or like, you know, Siobhan wore really cool bathing suit today. And I'm like, what does it look like? Because we don't have cameras on our phones yet, you know? And that was cool. And then, but the steakhouse job was the worst because I was like, oh, I like people. Again, this is my point about Albertsons. I enjoyed the interaction with people. But, man, they like trained me. And I was trying to be like funny with everything and I lied about my resume for sure. And the guy had liked some of my sketches and took a reference to my buddy. So he's like, oh, I bet you'll be great here and you'll be like a fun addition. And this guy, Monty, was training me. Shout out to Monty. You, dude, your middle name should be Anxiety because you created so much fucking unnecessary frustration inside of me. And I had a panic attack over butter squares. Asshole. And there was something called like Chantilly Cream that you were supposed to offer them when you brought their dessert.
Yeah.
And even at one point, I brought this guy a soup, and I forgot the spoon. And the guy was like, oh, do you mind bringing the spoon? I go, no, man, just figure it out with the fork. I go, enjoy. And then I started to walk away. And he was like, what? I go, I'm just kidding, man. I'll get you the spoon. He goes, oh, okay, thanks, man. And then Monty goes, hey, man, no jokes. Just go get the spoon. What's the figure out with the fork? What is that? Like, what if he thinks you're being serious? Then we have crazy people working here? I was like, Monty, making a joke, man. You're lighting up. And then I go back with the pie, and he goes, now you offer him your our famous Chantilly cream. And so I go, sir, I go, would you like any of our famous Chantilly cream? And so this is like backstage, back in the kitchen before we go out there. And he goes, say it for me. He goes, so offer them some of our homemade Chantilly cream. I go, Chantilly cream? He goes, no, Chantilly cream. I go, so Chantilly cream? He goes, Adam, Chantilly cream? I go, I'm saying it the way you're just putting your chin higher. That's the only difference here. Chantilly cream? And he's like, just we'll figure it out when you get out there. And so I offer the guy the Chantilly cream. I'm like, you want any Chantilly cream? I'm like, yeah, Monty wanted me to do the chin up. And then I like put like a real big scoop on the pie, like way too big. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, that's too much Chantilly, man. Nobody needs that much Chantilly. And then I try to like scoop it off his pie. And the guy's just like watching me. And he's just like, and he just looks up and he was like, man, you're not going to be here too much longer, are you? I was like, I don't think so, man. And then I had that panic attack about butter squares in the back. And so 2 days. And
my
then I quit.
Face hurts.
Wow. Fuck.
And I hit my mom on the way back. And I was she's like, how did you date? My mom comes up a lot. We don't talk as much anymore. But back in the day, most times, she really checked in a lot. And she was like, how is Fleming's? Is it great? Is it, you know? And I was like, I quit, actually. It's funny you ask. And I had a panic attack over butter squares and Chantilly cream.
What does Michael Jordan say about cream?
Michael says Chantilly cream is in Chantilly dream. No, and so then I was like, I'll figure it out. You know, like, and I think that was and she's been good about that too, like, in any sort of decision. Like, you know, when I quit football to play Danny Zuko in Greece my sophomore year of high school, which was when, as you do.
Oh, what are you?
And that was when, and I did that show and I was like, oh, cool. I think I want to do acting and be in the entertainment business because it was so fun. It always been kind of a hobby. And then I was like,
look at you, High School Musical.
Oh, man, yeah.
Holy shit.
And then you get to college and you're like, oh, everyone's voices are way better than high school voices.
Yeah.
If you really want to do it.
In high school, you just have to be a dude who's willing. Who I mean, wants, like throw a basketball well at your dad, like, it's your dream.
Yeah. And I was going to play football, but she's like, don't live your life to, like, please other people. And she's like, she's like, well, what do you want to do right now? And I was like, well, I want to do the play. Like, we grew up going to them as a kid, and it was a big deal in our community. And you know, we take field trips in elementary school. And, like, so now, like, a chance to be, and I've already been in one, but this, like, to maybe, because the lead was like, yo, I can't tell you, but, like, you know, we're doing it, and I think you should audition. It was kind of, like, laying it out. But the only kid I auditioned against for Danny Zuko was this kid named Danny Park, a Filipino kid who was also amazing, but not going to be Danny Zuko.
For sure.
Yeah. Not maybe now. You
yeah.
know? Maybe
yeah.
in these
not,
times.
Not back then.
Not in, what was that, 1999? And so she was like, yeah, like, I was like, if I play football, I'll be doing it to please the coach. And she's like, well, don't do that. Like, you got to, do what makes you happy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And so when I was at Fleming's, I was like, God, I don't know what else I'll do, but I'll fucking figure it out. And like, cut to literally 2 weeks later, I found this job on Craigslist for $100 to dress up like Superman and go to some kid's birthday party. Aww. And it was like deep in Venice, and it was all these like rich dad assholes, and like, yeah, they were like talking shit and fucked up. And I ended up like roasting one of the dads, and then the main dad like told me to go home because he's like, you can't be making fun
of the dads.
Yeah, he kicked me out. He paid me, but it was like 30 minutes in, and the dads was like, oh, he's fucking up. Like, he's just like ripping into me. And so I was like, you like the type of guy that gets cheated on, man. I was doing it like Superman voice. I was just like, you know, because I'm also doing stand-up outside, so I'm kind of like feeling, starting to get those.
And you're in a Superman costume,
like,
Superman, you're invincible.
I'm standing up for, for not just comics, but like superheroes.
You look like you get cheated on in front of his kids.
Yeah, in front of a lot of dads, and they were all hammered, and then he like got in my face, and I remember like trying to, I was like, just stay in character. Like, the last thing you can do is like get in a fight as Superman in front of his kids.
Yeah.
And then dad was like, I think you better go.
That's going to ruin their dad and Superman for them.
Yeah, especially if you lost.
Batman. Yeah. I bet somebody said that.
I feel like the name of this episode should be, how did you get that? Or how did you keep that?
No shit. But that was like, and then shortly after that, I started getting a little bit more like VO work, but then like not enough to keep it consistent. And then Bobby started taking me on the road more. And you know, actually, because I was like, all right, I'm gonna try to be around the store more because I'm not going to, and just, you know, try to just make other cuts to get by and not, because I was unhappy at that restaurant. Even though it was 2 days, I was like, life is too short, like to go through all that. Like, why am I going to put all my time and energy into that? And then just being around the store more, and then Bobby took me around more. And but still, like, you know, that wasn't enough to like survive on.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like you've really lived by the idea of like, do what makes you happy.
Yeah,
you know,
and where there's a will, there's a way. Like, that's always like it just. I've also never, you know, you were asking earlier on about like, you know, childhood trauma and stuff, and like, never gone to, like, my mom tried to put me in like you know, counseling after my folks split, because she was like, now you go talk to a stranger about why your dad cheated on me. And I'm like, this doesn't seem the way it should go down.
You're like, and I'm gonna talk about it in costume to another dad.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Oh my god, I gotta use that somehow. I have all these old divorce jokes that I like have, like, I used to do when I first started, because I was like, talk about what you know. But it was always so weird. When you're a new comic talking about divorce, unless you're like really great, you know? So I just always made it weird. But that's a funny take on it now, because I don't talk about that Superman thing. That's, I should talk about how that's my therapy. But so I never like went to therapy for that stuff, because I was always just like, not suppressing, but just like kind of had this mindset of like, just figure it out yourself, you know? And like, you know, I have friends and people I always talk to about stuff, but never, and that, I mean, we all do, right? I think you need that, like some sort of an outlet. But then there's like, you don't want to burden relationships and,
right?
That's
so have you been to therapy?
No.
Do you think you ever will?
I think I should, probably.
I mean, I just think everybody should. I'm not like,
the amount of comics and actors that I've talked to that have like said like how much shit has like changed because of it.
Yeah.
Sounds very appealing.
Yeah.
But I also, you know.
You're also doing very well, though. You seem like very well adjusted.
I'm okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I got my down days like anybody. And like, but I think there would be a benefit of just like, you know, talking out a lot of stuff, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, you're talking about like not burdening the other people in your life. And I mean, like, you should talk to people in your life about what you're going through. But therapists have tools that I've found that like my mom or, you know, fiance don't have. Like, they're amazing to talk to, but sometimes I'll go tell my therapist something and she's the first person to be like, oh yeah, you should be approaching it this way. And I'm like, oh fucking yeah, of course. Like, why didn't I think of that? And it's like, oh, because you're, this is what you do. You're a professional. Like,
right.
Yeah.
You know, that's the benefit.
Or if they
of that.
Say the same thing your mom said, you're like, well, I guess that's for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had that happen too in therapy.
Oh really?
Where if a professional says it, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
Do you, how many therapists did you audition before you found one that you enjoyed? Right?
Oh,
or is that a personal question?
No.
That's
I mean,
we're talking about everything right here.
Yeah.
This is my third, but I liked I had one in Seattle, but the only reason I stopped seeing her is because I moved down here. So it wasn't like, I was like, next, like Simon Cowell, just like bust her out.
Has anybody ever brought their therapist with them?
To
the show?
Oh, no, I was like,
hilarious. Yeah, just in the corner. No, like when they've like moved or.
You'd have to be so rich.
You'd have to. That's some like Kanye shit.
Yeah,
seriously.
You can't just like,
move.
You think he's in therapy?
No.
There's no way, right?
No way. No.
Because why? Because the thoughts are just too free.
How?
Too unfiltered.
I mean, can you even picture that? Should be a sketch. Can you picture Kanye in therapy?
Whoa.
Dude, he's the writer of the song "Can't Tell Me Nothing." You think a therapist is gonna get through to that man?
Yeah. Where would you even start with him?
Yeah. Or he just has like a yes man therapist who's like,
right.
You do you, like you're doing everything right.
Yeah. This is my fourth therapist, but it's been spread out over the course of like over a decade. I've always done like very short increments. This is the longest I've probably been in therapy.
And you go for like what, an hour?
Yeah.
50 minutes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dang. Probably 50 flies
minutes?
By.
I think that's like weird. The 50 minutes is like, give me an extra 10.
It's to wrap it up, I think, and schedule your next, right?
Oh,
and
like, okay.
Like they need to go like use the bathroom period. And stuff like that before their next person.
And you think about people are maybe 10 minutes late, usually. You know, it's like, I don't know. Just like
what
a little bit of wiggle
job.
Room.
Right?
I know.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, how do you absorb all of other people's shit when you've got your own shit? Although maybe the same way it's cathartic for us to like be on stage, like maybe there is something about them just listening and talking it out. Probably
their passion.
They find
their
own stuff to maybe like filter in and work out their own shit in the session.
Well, they
do somebody else's stuff.
I think aren't they required to have their own therapist too? Like,
oh,
as
really?
A therapist, you have to have a therapist.
Whoa.
I don't know if it's a requirement,
I didn't know that.
But it's heavily suggested or recommended, if not required.
They did that
I could
on
be
the Sopranos,
wrong.
But...
I know that like all my cousins who have been they're social workers, they like have to have a therapist, and I've heard of other therapists who like
porn fluffers have to have their own fluffers too.
Oh
yeah,
so it's
just google it. It's out there. It's a known fact.
Perfect. Yeah. I think they have to, because I don't think that it's healthy to just absorb everybody's shit and not
tell
let
everybody
out.
You know, like, they got friends. You don't think they're like,
oh, they're totally
home.
Telling their friends.
Oh yeah.
They're just
confidentiality
who it is
like a suggestion, right? Like, they're like, yeah, I'm not gonna tell it. Like, there's gotta be some good shit. They're going home and they're like, yo, I need pillow talk. I need dinner small talk.
Yeah.
Like, Taylor keeps talking about death. that's totally happening.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you guys talked about death on this a lot?
Oh yeah.
We had a death doula on.
Yeah, it was so cool.
I might listen to that one.
She was
crazy.
Great.
Yeah.
I've had some crazy, like, that's definitely a big fear for sure.
Yeah. Are you terrified of death? So are we.
Yeah.
Do you think about it every day?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a couple scares.
Really?
Oh yeah. And then and I think about it now with just like folks. I mean, I've got people in my family that are pretty sick, and then even just my mom and stepdad are going on this. They just go on this cruise right now because he's about to retire, and she's talking about, you know, she's super active and in like decent shape, but she's about to be 70, and she's like talking about going like ATV riding on one of these islands.
Oh my
and I'm
gosh.
Like, Mom, fucking no.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'll be driving. George will be on my back. He's like, he's 75. And like, also, like, they both, you know, they're both probably, you know, batting 10 years above what they, you know, or look like. They just, you know, have young, you know, spirits.
Yeah.
And still not young, though. Like, I mean, like,
right.
Like,
I mean,
you don't need to be ATVing at 75, man.
Yeah.
So, like, that's, like, definitely, like, I'm definitely nervous from being over there. Yeah. But, yeah, every day, for sure, in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just because of some of the, you know, I had this crazy car scare my freshman year of high school where I was following my buddy, and we were driving to the movie theater, and we went down this hill, and then we were at a stoplight, and he was actually sitting shotgun. I was driving, and there was our buddy was in front of us, and we were like, oh, we're going to go to this theater now instead of this theater. But we didn't have... Maybe we had cell phones at this point. This freshman year of high school was 98. And And so I go, just get up and go. I go, get out and go tell Evan that we're going to this theater instead. So he gets out and runs up, and then the light turns green. So then I'm just like, wave him off, and he just gets in my buddy Evan's car, and we drive to the theater. And then we were turning left, and I didn't, like, I was following close behind them, and I didn't, like, yield. And as soon as their car gets out of the way, I'm just like halfway through the lane, and this like giant, like, man, Ford F-150, like big ass truck, like just blasting some Brooks and Dunn or something, you know, and coming straight at me. And I just like froze, and I was like, oh, that's it. And I just like held on.
Oh,
I remember thinking,
gosh,
that's it. And,
and then,
I remember hearing Celine Dion's muscle joke. And I just held the wheel, and then it just like, and I turned it the last minute just enough to where, instead of like dead on, because that would just crunch me, it like, I turned like that, so then it hit like passenger side, which would have been my buddy, done.
Oh, man.
Crazy, right? And then like, so it hit me, and then, and it was a tiny little like 88 Chevy Spectrum, like box of a car, like not even like a joke, like a clown car. Like, if you saw Brad driving, you go, oh, yeah, that's a real car for that guy, because he's a dwarf. But so it hit me like this, and then flipped, and then spun, like literally like flipped and then spun, and like all the windows shattered, and was still holding on to the wheel, and then like came upright, and then I was just kind of like, and then I looked out, and I was like, oh man, and I kind of like get out, and there was people across the street, and a homeless guy at the 7-Eleven. I just remember the first thing I hearing was him just going, man, you got fucked up. And I was like, all right, I think I heard that. I think that was like, I hope that wasn't like a homeless angel. I think that's like, I think that's down here on the ground. But I was so
like, oh my God.
And then everybody was
Adam.
Like, you should not be alive. That was crazy.
Whoa.
Not crazy.
Were you okay?
I think about that a lot. Yeah, I mean, I had a super sore neck and like, you know, some cuts and whatnot. But
oh
like,
my God. Oh my God.
But I definitely, I mean, the truck was, the size alone should have just like, you know, washed it out.
Oh, my stomach like hurts just hearing that story.
But also that's... like my buddy, like, isn't that crazy? The timing.
That is so crazy.
And he's like, best man at his wedding. Like,
wow.
You know.
Good Lord. You need to listen to the Death Doula episode.
Oh,
it's pretty.
What do you break down, like, if you think about it too much, what it means? And like, is it one of those like, you know, those little things like.
Oh, the dream.
Yeah.
No, what's that called? Fuck.
Like one, like, name a number. One,
yes.
Two, three.
I used it. Cootie Catcher. Cootie Catcher?
Dan Cook used to have a great bit about it, remember?
Yeah. Shit. For
there was like colors
Chinese.
And like.
It's a cootie catcher. I've said it. It says what it is.
The numbers.
Why is everybody always.
But I think there is another name for it. Like a Chinese finger. No, that's what I call your pussy.
Chinese
finger trap.
So funny. Isolate that audio. Make it my email alert. ASAP. Make it my email
that's
alert.
That's like a running thing on the
podcast. What's a Chinese finger? No, you put that in your pussy. What's the. That should be how you end every episode.
It's
just
a cootie. It's a cootie catcher or a paper fortune teller.
Oh yeah,
fortune teller.
Okay.
Yeah,
is that what you're trying to think of?
It's
anyway.
Yeah.
But wait.
My
so you
vagina
did...
is clinically tight. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that experience it really plays into the whole you got to do what you love.
For sure.
Life's too short. That's probably always in the back.
Also,
of your head, right?
For sure. And also a kid. When I was in eighth grade and he was in seventh grade, this kid's name was Rex Hammond, and. Just the sweetest, nicest, most athletic, like, you know, when you hear these stories or somebody, you know, passes away tragically and you hear about them and they break them down and you see their picture and no bad things to say about them. I mean, this kid was that kid and just like so popular and so giving and just amazing and like destined for just a lot of great stuff. And he got, it was like my first taste of death, and he got kidney cancer. And all of a sudden, I just remember hearing like, oh, he's got like he's in the hospital because he's got like something going on, and then like literally like a month later, like my buddy who's now who was best friends and was one of my best friends now was like giving us updates, and then I remember he just like coming over and being like, man, he like died tonight, and I was just like,
oh my
what? And so that was so crazy. And like being at the funeral, like in eighth grade, I mean, it was just like
so young.
You know, grandparents
be, yeah.
after that was still, you know, awful, but like. So I felt somewhat prepped for that experience, but like, man, a classmate and at that age, like, I don't even think you've completely identified what death is or the fact that it can even happen. Like, you feel so invincible in seventh and eighth grade.
Totally.
Like, you know, you're doing
that pops the bubble real early.
Yeah. And so that fucked me up and, like real hard. I remember, you know, and like, you know, I remember just like being really, like, people, you know, eventually you get out of it and you, you know, find things to, you started hanging out, but I was always like so bummed. And people were like, man, you're really taken. And I was like, yeah, like, and we were friends. Like, everybody was friends with him. So yeah. I wasn't best friends with him like my buddy was, but just like the idea, like, I just couldn't stop harping on like, the fact of all the things like he wasn't gonna, didn't get to do or wasn't gonna get to do. And I'm sure there's been, you know, on a weird level, like some part of me, like being, trying to be more active and do, and again, back to my mom being like, oh, you should, like, don't be doing all this and you're trying to do too much. And it's like, I think I definitely, or even like with spots when it's, if I'm doing, if I get a chance to go up four times in a night, which isn't every night, but when it does happen, I'm like, I got to do it because I vaguely, I'm sorry, very, you know, actively remember scraping for a couple of weeks. So if I have the chance to do a bunch, I'm like, I don't want to not do it because I remember that time. And also I have that mindset of like, the fact that I get to do that and then thinking, I don't think I'm thinking like directly of Rex, but I'm sure that is still like that seed has been planted probably of like, you got to just try to
make the most of the potential you get to.
I mean, I'm just saying this out loud and realizing that, but I'm sure that's in there somewhere because I, that did like fuck me up so much.
Do you have a belief about what happens when you die? Do you know, like, are you, because like the death doula really helped me in this area because I was having such awful fear anxiety or death anxiety like every single day constantly. And she's like, that's usually because you don't know what your beliefs are yet, or you haven't really mapped out what you believe.
Have you decided on a belief?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just like, I don't know, energy, consciousness, something that I like, I can't explain. I don't think it's like, I don't think it's possible for humans to explain what the fuck is happening, right? That's what I think. I don't know though. But I'm like, I'm open to not knowing because I'm not going to claim I know something that really nobody knows.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
I mean, what do you, so you go back and forth with thinking
I find it really hard to believe that it's, that's just it. Like, I think that's so shitty and scary. And like, what, how did this even happen? Like, what are we doing here? I think that's crazy. Like, what, that's a mountain. What the, who the fuck did that? Like, what's the very first thing that started this whole thing?
Where do you get your pot from?
See, I have like such anxiety just talking. Like, I,
you don't
I
even want to get
because
about it.
Is it because you don't have your beliefs kind of mapped out, or you do?
Or is your belief, I'm never going to figure it out, so let's not talk about it?
It's just like,
I don't like to think too, get too heady about certain things is my response. And I have thought about that, but then as soon as I start to go down that path, I'm just like, man, I'd rather fill my head with like more fun. I was about to say funner thoughts. Can we make that a word already?
It's too already almost there.
That's Jeff
Dye has bits called funner, I feel
like. He does. He's a true dum-dum. But, he really but is. Hot.
He has a whole bit. Doesn't he have a bit about like it's gooder to be dumb or it's funner to be dumb?
A CD or something.
Something like that.
I love when he says genuinely, don't make no sense.
Like, he leans into it. There were times when we first started being friends because he crashed on my couch for like 5 months when he first got here, and certain things we would say or text, and I would always call him out on it because I was just like, dude, not a word, or like. Or just type back like, here's the way that you meant to use that. And he was, I think, pretty receptive.
I think he's a good sport about it.
To a point. Because like, who wants to be called out truly on their dum-dumness all the time?
Dum-dum-ness.
And I got that word from Jeff. He's great.
Jeff, you're very funny. We all like you a lot.
You gotta say that, isn't it? I mean, clearly he knows. But it's like, you know, his life rules.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. You've been amazing. Sorry we kept you so long.
Was this longer than
we usually do an hour, so we went over with
Well, you guys are fun to chat with, so could chat forever.
You're the funnest to chat
with. He's the best. He's genuinely one of my favorite comedians.
Thanks, guys.
Anytime anybody asks, I feel like we get asked that question all the time as comics. You know, like, who are your favorites? Adam Ray. One of my favorites.
And you're so funny off the cuff too. Like, I mean, all your material is very funny as well, but just like, just like, you're so, you know, I'm one of those dumb people that's like, dude, just thought of it. Like, I'm one of those simple people. So that's always so important. Like, when we did those live podcasts, I was just like, oh, damn it, Adam's so funny.
Oh, man.
Like, that was so funny because it was such a rough situation that we were in.
Yeah, that was rough.
And you were so funny.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
That's just like fight or flight. Like, man, like, didn't feel like anybody could hear anything. And like, this is my alma mater, but not how I wanted to come back.
Right, yeah.
Things at all. Like, what is the animal, real quick before we wrap this up, that when we did that show in Spokane at that theater, right?
The garbage goat?
No, that your mom, I remember just being fascinated with, there's an animal that your mom was like rescuing and trapping, right?
Raccoons.
There it is. Boom.
Oh my god.
I was trying to think about the other day where I was like, man, I had a really good laugh, and it was a it was like a really fun bar conversation where it was like, show is great. We're hanging out with her mom and friends, and then you told me, and then she elaborated on it, and it was like, man, yeah. I could have talked raccoons for at least 45 minutes.
That's so funny.
It's deep. I mean, she doesn't live there anymore.
Right.
But, like, you know.
Does she still have an infatuation with rescuing animals?
Yeah. That's
awesome.
It's like some.
That's a good sign of a loving mom, right?
Oh, the best. Yeah. That's like her. She's programmed to nurture what needs to be nurtured to the point that she's like, you know, Buddy the Elf, like risking her life.
Oh.
Where it's
Whoa.
Like, don't fucking hand feed that raccoon because it will.
That's right. Risking her life. I remember that being a part of it where you were like, you were like, it is adorable, but don't like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, don't nurture this habit. Because there's like some danger involved. Raccoons are also terrifying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, oh, just man. Because you named them doesn't mean they give a fuck about
yeah.
you.
Hilarious.
You know, like,
just because
so
you
funny.
Named them. Yeah, they don't. At the peak of my
kids
fatness.
Kids are like that too.
They are. Yeah. Kids are the worst. The peak of my fatness, I had this big thing of spaghetti meatballs. I was running downstairs to watch some show, and my sister would always leave cat food out for her cats and the stray cats that she would take in. And it was late night. I'm running downstairs late night, probably like 7:15, and I'm running downstairs and I hear this scratching at the door and I thought it was like one of the cats. So like one play in hand, I kind of opened the door and it was a raccoon and it got on all fours and went,
oh,
it was my raccoon cam. And I dropped the spaghetti and meatballs. My mom's not home, by the way. She's working late. Dropped the spaghetti and meatballs. Just picture fat Adam running down the stairs being like, can't wait to eat all of this and watch the show. And I get to, and then all of a sudden, and the raccoon's like, there's no more spaghetti after you drop that, is what it said in its fucking scare. And I dropped it, plate broke, spaghetti everywhere. Also terrified of the raccoon because I've never seen one live. I didn't even know that they were in our neighborhood. I didn't know raccoons lived in cul-de-sacs, but apparently my sister tells me later, she's like, yeah, they eat cat food. I'm like, well, then why the fuck is it on our front porch all the time? And then, and so then I dropped it, and then this raccoon runs away. Now that I think about it, it even stayed there for a beat, being like, "Ha, fatty," you know, and then like ran away. They're like getting more meatballs, and then I looked down and I was like so genuinely distraught at a broken plate of spaghetti and meatballs because my mom wasn't home. That was the food she left out. Oh man, watching the show with no food.
Probably
then walked up and was like, "Guess it's Pop Tarts and Cool Whip."
That's how that started.
Yeah, my mom moved out of that house like almost a year ago now. And,
oh, cool.
You know, sometimes people leave a house.
That's right, she's down here.
Yeah, and then like new people move in and there's like, oh, maybe there's like spirits or whatever. For whoever moved in there, fucking raccoons. Like,
that's
they
not something
moved
you
in.
Tell the new people, is it?
No, no,
like,
no.
Hey, look, I befriended a bunch of creatures. Some creatures come looking for treats. Hey, be cool. Tammy's the coolest. If Tammy's cool, you'll be cool. You're like, who's Tammy? You'll see you later. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. You know that they like moved in and there was just like seven of them like, sup, bro? Like, this is
whoa.
This is our house. This is our house. Yeah. And
Ralphie likes Kobe beef sliders. Well done. Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Oh, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
where
can people find you?
The album is Read the Room. Wherever you get audio fun. Oh, look at that. iTunes, Google Play, I think Pandora, Spotify. Mm-hmm. About Last Night podcast. Also on iTunes and all that jazz. AdamRayComedy.com for tour dates. She-Ra season 2 is out right now.
Cool.
The talking horse sidekick.
Love it.
Yeah. Follow Adam on Instagram. He posts such funny videos all the time.
I try to. Yeah. I mean, I just posted a bunch of stories this past weekend being home with my niece and nephew. Mm-hmm. My nephew trying to fill a Slurpee by himself. Classic. Guess what? Spoiler alert. It spilled over the top. And then I made him say "Wheeze in the Juice" into the camera. Pauly Shore and Encino Man. Yeah. Put in your cue. Okay, Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that? Yeah. And then I think then that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already and give us that 5-star rating and review. We've been consistently on the chart. I mean, I don't think we've come off the charts now for a long time.
No,
but like,
you're not going anywhere.
We keep getting closer and closer to breaking the top 100, and it's because you guys. So if you give us a 5-star rating and review, it really helps. So take a second and do that. And
yes,
that's it. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
You're so funny. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show. Our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and TTomComedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Why won't it